Blog Talk Radio.
This goes out to my partner that passed away, Eugene Reckler, Robert Squirrel Lester, Pretty Old John. I remember, oh yeah, the signs of springtime. There were birds, music, everywhere. Some of us say, oh, and some of us cry. Can't you see? Oh, can't you see the tears in my eyes? She's what I had dreamed of. She's all that I think of, yeah. Woo. 10 feet tall. Oh, I was riding so high. What eyes of a child,
eyes of a child,
shining so bright.
Yes!
Can't wait. Come on, y'all.
Cold this day.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Soulful Music with Marshall Thompson. I am the creator of Soulful Music, Beverly Black, and it is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be here live on Tribe Family Channel. Our guest tonight is a man right out of Chicago, right along with Marshall Thompson. So before we introduce our guest, let me introduce my co-host. As you all know, Marshall Thompson is the last man standing of the legendary Shy Lights. Now, when he takes the stage, y'all, there's an introduction that goes down, and I want to allow that introduction to take place right here, right now. So listen to this and get ready for Marshall Thompson.
This legendary supergroup, formed in the late 50s as two separate groups, the Chanteurs and the Desideros, joined forces in the early 60s to become Marshall and the Highlights. In 1964, they changed their name in tribute to their hometown, Chicago, and became the Shy Lights. The hits started coming in 1971 and 1972 with Have You Seen Her and Old Girl, each selling over 1 million copies. In 2000, they were inducted into the Rhythm and Blues Foundation. In 2005, the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. And in 2013, the R&B Music Hall of Fame. Their music has been heard around the world, as well as movies. In 1996, they appeared in Original Gangsters, Only the Strong Survive in 2002, and recently, the movie trailer for the Disney picture Finding Dory. They continue to wow audiences worldwide.
Ladies and gentlemen, right here live on Tribe Family Channel, brought to you by Genius is Common and Gumbo for the Soul International, I present Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson. How are you doing, my brother?
Pleasure. Good evening. How you doing? We got a very exciting show tonight. A very super, super young man with a dynamite voice and some great talent and a brand new record he's going to present tonight.
Ooh, I'm excited. I'm excited ever since you told me about this brother and ever since I heard his music. And so we can't keep our audiences waiting, but I just hope that all's well with you, my brother. Is it chilly in Chi-Town?
It is very cold.
Whoa, he's chilly ain't the word. Chilly ain't the word. He said it's very cold. All right, all right. Well, it's a pleasure always to have you here, my brother. And I'm going to tell our worldwide audience a little bit about your guest, and we're going to bring him on. Stan Mosley was born in Chicago, Illinois. He grew up in the church. His passion is music, and that's where it started, with the encouragement of his mother. Throughout his youth, he was praised continually for his vocals, which led him to perform professionally. And he's going to tell us all about what led him to now have under his belt over 46 years, approaching 56 years, and about to hit platinum and gold with some of these hits that you're going to hear right here. And also, he has a new album entitled Soul Resurrection. Soul Resurrection. Let me say that again. Excuse me. And forgive my voice. I'm just getting over a cold. So bear with me as I present to you, live on Soul School Music, Mr. Stan Mosley. How are you, my brother?
I'm blessed above and beyond any and everything I could ever even hope for or imagine.
Right on. Right on. Very pleasure to have you here tonight.
It's a joy to be here with you guys, man. I've been looking forward to this all week, and here I am.
That's right.
A lot of people have been looking for you, so it's a pleasure to have you. And we're going to get into you tonight and play some of your music and let the fans all over the world that's listening to you, let them know what you're doing.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. Now, what we're going to lead up to is the point where you and Marshall came together. So, Stan, first tell our audience, when did you first realize, tell us about growing up in Chicago and when you first realized, you know, like you said, that you had that passion for music. Tell us about growing up and getting that passion for music in the church.
Well, first of all, the church had the music happening already. I mean, anybody that grew up in Chicago belonged to somebody's church. And you know just as well as I know, Marshall, that if you was in the church, which you were, you heard some slamming music. I mean, everybody pretty much could get down with the choirs and stuff like that, though. But my love for the music really began when I would see cats like Jackie Wilson and Sam Cooke and Wilson Pickett on the Ed Sullivan Show. And, you know, I was a very young kid, man. And every Sunday at about, I think it came on around 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that, maybe 7 o'clock p.m., I don't know. But we got an opportunity to see our people on a huge platform, on a huge stage. We're talking about television. And the TV was black and white back then, too. And we had an opportunity to see them shining, and it just touched me in a very unique way. I'll never forget it. My mother told me one time that I used to stand on the front porch with the water hose, like it was a microphone singing, you know, so I don't know, you know. She said I would be imitating, if I wasn't imitating Wilson Pickett or somebody, I was imitating Elvis Presley. So, you know, hey, I've been doing this thing for a long time. I've enjoyed doing it.
Wow. Now, what school did you go to? What elementary school did you go to? And did your music
I attended Wadsworth Elementary School, which is right behind the house there in Chicago. And I was taken out of there, and I ended up going to a private school in Lakeville, Illinois. It was called Allendale School for Boys.
All right.
Yeah, when I left the elementary school, I was in, what do they call it? They used to call it Hyde Park, but then it became Hyde Park Career Academy.
That was it.
That was my elementary and high school education right there in Chicago. And then I ended up in Lincoln University in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in the Army, too. Jeez, I've been around the world two or three times.
Spill it. Tell us, wow, the world two or three times, Marshall. Wow. All right. Now, musically in your youth, where did what type of stages after church did you find yourself on as a youth musically?
Well, musically as a youth, I had some friends right there that lived on the block with me, and we used to mess around, you know, listening to the Supremes, the Miracles, and the Temptations, and the Four Tops. We would sit on the front porch in the evenings, I mean every evening, and try to harmonize with one another. None of us could sing. We couldn't sing a lick. But we would, you know, we would get together and do that, you know, and I kind of found out that the more we did it, the better we became, you know what I'm saying? We just kept singing, you know, and it became fun. And that's when I realized that I had something special. At least I felt that I did. I wanted to believe that I had something special. And it was when my mother told me it was used as a tool to keep us from getting in trouble. You know, a lot of things were going on back then, you know. And it was a tool to keep us together right there in the neighborhood doing something constructive, you know, and that was singing.
Wow. Now, do you remember when you first saw the Shy Lights? Do you remember when you first heard of Marshall Thompson?
The first time that I actually saw the Shy Lights, it had to be in 1969, and I believe it was at the amphitheater on Halsted, and I think it was for Operation Push. I think it was called Operation Push at that time. And they had the Shylights down there, the Artistics, Tyrone Davis. It had everybody from Brunswick and everybody from the Shy Sound family down there. And I'll never forget, the Shylights came out there, man, and just blew the roof off of that place, you know. I mean, I had saw the Artistics and everybody doing their thing. But if I'm not mistaken, when I saw the Shy Lights, it looked like it was five of them. They were moving so fast on stage, you know.
Marshall, I have never had a guest that could tell me who was on a venue like that, Marshall. And he ran it down, so you got to remember that day.
I told Marshall about it.
Marshall, do you remember that day?
Oh, yeah, I remember. That was the first time when we was at the amphitheater. It was the amphitheater on Halsted. We came back the second time. We had Jackson 5 and a lot of the Motown acts was with us on the second time we came in there. But the first time when he went, we had strictly the Brunswick office. Jesse Jackson, Operation Push, brought us in there.
That's who I got the tickets from.
Wow. And, you know, till this day, Marshall and Jesse are still friends. They just took a picture together recently. And so, and then who was in that picture? I don't know if Mr. Jackson if Joe Jackson was in that picture. But
right.
after all these years, to see everybody, you know, still together. And so that had to be a very special night to see the Shy Lights. And so what happened, what brought your two worlds together? How did you meet?
I remember my I had a manager. His name is Emmett Garner, and he was a real good friend of Marshall. And he introduced me to Marshall. But what Marshall probably didn't remember and what my manager didn't know is that Marshall and I had already met, because I had a young man that was living with me. His name is Danny Barrett. He's my keyboard player. He worked for Marshall and the Shy Lights. As a matter of fact, Marshall bought his passport for him and stuff. Man, this is way back in the late 70s, early 80s. And Marshall stole my keyboard player.
Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Marshall.
I'm here.
You hear him? He said you stole his keyboard player.
Yeah, we were stealing a lot of players then.
That was real players. That's when you had something to steal, huh? If you got to, if somebody took something from you, you had something to be taken, right?
Yeah. We were taking them back for the world.
Marshall is good like that. He has opened doors for many. And so let's get off into some of your music. That's what I'm excited to know about. So fast forward to after you met Marshall and the Shy Lights, the keyboard Danny Barry, and then when did you we're going to get into your music. So tell us about your first hit, Rock Me.
Okay, my first hit, Rock Me, came in, I think it was 1995. I had been signed to a record company out of Jackson, Mississippi. And we were recording in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And I think it was Johnny Taylor, Bobby Bland, myself, and I don't know if it was Dorothy Moore or Shirley Brown. It was one of them. And we were all in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, recording. At this particular time, there were these two individuals that go by the name of Mosley and Johnson at this record company. They were very good writers, and they were good performers as well. As I was in the studio recording, they came in with some songs, and the record company stopped my session because we had like five different rooms that we record in. But they stopped my session and said, look, we got something we want you to hear. And I listened to the song, and I thought it was the silliest song I ever heard in my life. Because when you hear me singing it, you will hear me actually laughing in the song, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, I learned something about what you think of a hit. Because the people showed me when they play this record, it became a hit, and I'm trying to figure out, because I've got stuff on this album that was way better than this, and I'm trying to figure out, now, how is this a hit? And they missing this right here. Well, we don't make the hit, you know. We record
right.
The people make the hits, you know.
That's right,
so
that's
I'm
right.
It blew me away. If you listen to me when I'm singing the song, I'm standing in the studio in the booth laughing.
Wow.
And they kept my laugh in the song. And as a matter of fact, that's become a trademark on some of the songs that I've recorded over the years too. You know, like Bobby Bland has that growl. You know, they got
okay,
me laughing.
All right. All right, that sounds good. That sounds good. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, live right here with Marshall Thompson on Soul School Music, we have Stan Mosley, and we're going to hear Rock Me. And I know he's going to tear it up. Rock Me, even through his laughter. Here we go.
Rock Me, baby.
I was laying on ready to go.
dance. She says, "Stan, I'm not that good, but I take a chance." This is what I say. I say, "Rock me,
rock me, baby,
oh, baby.
Rock me.
Like you never." Will you take me home? My heart started thumping, did it? And my blood, it started pumping, 'cause I was thinking about loving. Yeah. When we get along, and this is what she said. She said, "Baby, you don't have to rush it. No, you don't. It's all yours, honey. Go on and touch it." And I say, I say,
"Rock me, baby, rock me,
like you never."
Now, that was nice, that was nice, that was nice. And I did hear you laugh, but you know what? I really enjoyed that song. And tell us where, since that turned out to be a hit that you, you know, didn't suspect it to, where, what else surprised you? What heights did that song take you all to? And who's on there with you?
Well, on that particular song right there, it was the Muscle Shoals Band. The Muscle Shoals Band is the band that's responsible for playing all that wonderful music you heard. Bobby Womack, Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin, just anybody that
wow,
that's out there. They played for every one of them, you know. And then what really blew me away about the Muscle Shoals Band, I'll never forget when we got to the studio. I was with Rich Kaysen, and I said, "Rich, where's the band at, man? I'm ready to start recording." You know, all I saw was a bunch of old white guys in there, and they were sweeping the floors and moving stuff around. You know, I'm thinking these cats are the janitors, right? They were the Muscle Shoals Band. Blew me away, man. I always thought that. I just didn't know. I had no idea of the history of Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and the Muscle Shoals Band. Come to find out, every one of them were all white men.
Wow, wow, wow. I bet you Ray Charles knew who they were, right, Marshall?
musicians. All Muscle Shoals band was top musicians.
Yes.
Like, wow.
Played for everybody. Any and everybody they have played for. And I mean everything that they touch. Turn to gold. Everything. I mean, David Hood has probably one of the most memorable bass lines on any song in the world. And that's, I'll take you there. When Mavis say, David, little David, that's David Hood.
Wow.
That's a Muscle Shoals band. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Wow, that is unbelievable. That is unbelievable. Wow. And, you know, I'm reminded of a conversation that we had, Marshall, with I think it was either Gene Chandler or Lloyd Price, and we were talking about the B side because the A side of the song didn't turn out to be the hit. And when they turned it to the B side, that was the hit. And I forget which conversation that was, but this reminds me how you didn't think Rock Me would do it, but it did it and surprised you. And so you've traveled around the world twice. Where are some of your favorite places? Because Marshall always shouts out like the UK, London. Where are some of your favorite places?
Italy. Italy and Spain. That would be Japan is cool, but Italy and Spain is it. As a matter of fact, we did 2 weeks in Italy back in July and August. I think it was the last of July and the beginning of August. And then we left there and went to Madrid. We were in the Canary Islands. You're talking about wonderful. It had a wonderful time. I think we made history when we went over there because I don't think the people were really expecting what they had an opportunity to witness. And being out on the ocean front in the Canary Islands in front of over 25,000 fans, I'm talking about 25,000 people, man, came to see us, and we did not disappoint them.
Wow, Marshall, did you hear that? 25,000. Now, Marshall, tell me, because I know you know what he's talking about, and excuse my voice for our listeners, you're tuned in to Soul School Musical with Marshall Thompson, live on Tribe Family Channel, brought to you by Genius is Common, Bruce George, and myself, Beverly Black, Gumble for the Soul International. We're speaking with Stan Mosley, and he just told us some of his favorite places, too. Perform around the world. Marshall, what are some of your favorite places?
Well, we've been to so many of them. I mean, you come out of London, France, Guam, Singapore, Australia. We've been everywhere, you know, around the world,
right.
So many. But one of my favorites is London, England, you know, at Liverpool, right there in Liverpool, mm-hmm. London, in Leicester, Liverpool, Watford, all those places. Also Sherwood Forest, where Robin Hood had his thing. That's one of my favorite places we play. That's the place where Elton John owns one of the places there when he sung on stage at the show, like, "The Cold Is There, My Life."
Wow, awesome. All right. Well, you know, we're winding down to the halfway mark of the show, and so I want to give our sponsor, Genius is Common, the opportunity to shine and pay the bills, and Sheila Ray Charles is going to help us with that, and this is her genius. So bear with us, please.
Hey, everybody. I'm Sheila Ray Charles, daughter of the legendary singer Ray Charles, and I want to tell you something. Genius is common. I am so excited to share with you my genius and continuing in the legacy of the genius of my father. Ray Charles was known all over the world as the genius of soul. He truly created an image for himself through his music, through all of his accomplishments, from being from the rural South and being blind and overcoming all of these obstacles that many people across this nation would consider supernatural. And through his legacy, I get to share in that through my own music. Behind the Shades, Hope Beyond the Darkness, my book that I wrote about my story, which talks about the life that I had being the daughter of Ray Charles. It talks about my life through drugs and addiction. It talks about me overcoming through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did for me what I could not do for myself. I get to talk about my genius through the music that I have, that I get to share through my own songs, the stories of my life and what I've been through and how I overcame through the love of music, through being able to write my feelings and emotions down so that I could share them with you. I get to travel all over the world sharing my testimony of being freed from 21 years of crack cocaine, being freed not just in my mind, but being freed behind the bars of federal prison. I want to talk about how important it is that you know that you have a genius inside of you that is waiting to just come alive, and all you have to do is know that your genius is there. I'm Sheila Ray Charles, and I'm excited to tell you that genius is common, and never forget that that awakening is inside of you, and all you have to do is trust and believe that you have a genius living inside of you. God bless you. God keep you. And please find me on SheilaRayCharles.com, Sheila Ray Charles on Facebook, Sheila Ray Charles on Twitter, and look more deeply inside of the work that God has given me to share with you. God bless you, and I'll look forward to seeing you soon. And remember, genius truly is common.
Ladies and gentlemen, live on Tribe Family Channels, Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, I have the pleasure of being with this genius as we guest host or co-host with our guest, Stan Mosley. So we are back with Stan Mosley, and I want to encourage you two gentlemen to give us your Genius is Common video. All you have to do is go to geniusiscommon.com. And upload it from there. Now, we have a couple of more songs. We've got Tasty Love. Now, tell us, what is the inspiration behind Tasty Love, and how did that song inspire you?
Tasty Love was written by a good friend of mine, Floyd Hamberlin Jr. He's a writer and a producer, and it was a song that he introduced me to, and I love the melody of it. I love the flavor of the song, but the song didn't come together until we went to Mississippi and got Brother Don Evans, a guitar player, to put that guitar lick on there. Once he did that, it was off into the races. You know, I could really feel it then.
All right. I heard that. You hear that, Marshall? See, that's like cooking gumbo. Once you put the right ingredients in it, come on.
That's exactly what the song is about, Tasty Love. See, love's cooking in the kitchen, and it sure smells good. Yeah, I can't wait until it's ready, baby.
Well, here we go with Tasty Love right here on Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson.
I'm sure smells good. Ooh. Come here, baby. Now you know that's my favorite. Bring it here.
Oh, babe. Oh, I like that. Love cooking in your kitchen, and it sure smells good. Can't wait till it's ready, 'cause I know it's good. I'm just like a child, full of anticipation, like a cake in the oven. Honey, you got me waiting, but I don't know what's come over me. But I'm hooked on your recipe. You can say
the last drop. I've been thinking about you all day. Got an appetite. You know I'm ready to go at it all night. You taste so good. You like ice cream on the cone. I can't let it melt away, honey. I got the liquor till it's all gone. So give me, woman, give me, give me. Cause you know I'm greedy. I can't never get enough, no matter how much you feed me. So you can serve it in the morning, yeah, in the afternoon. And you can serve it in the evening, babe, anytime it's all good. I'm just an addict, said I can't get enough of your tasty love. I can't get enough, baby. You know why? Every part of you is so nutritious. Yes, it is. Your finger licking good. You're so delicious. You can serve it in the morning, in the afternoon. And you can serve it in the evening, anytime it's all good. I'm just an addict. I can't get enough of your tasty love. I can't get enough of that good love, baby. You can serve it in the morning, put that beer in my mind. And you can serve it in the evening, anytime it's all good. I'm just an addict. I love you,
I can't
baby.
Get enough of
your tasty love. I can't get enough of your tasty love. Listen, you can serve it in the morning, in the afternoon. And you can serve it in the evening, anytime it's all good. I'm just an addict, can't get enough of your taste in love. I can't get enough of your taste in love. You can serve it in the morning.
Come on, serve it.
Hey, now I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that. And what I meant to say, Marshall, about Rock Me is that I could hear like the Chicago stepper in Rock Me. Could I know, not being from Chicago, but you tell me, you all, did y'all do any step into Rock Me?
Nope.
No,
I'm being honest because it wasn't. It's not a stepper's cut. I think Casey was
more
a stepper's cut.
Okay.
The Rock Me is. I don't know. But what do I know? I don't know.
It's got a stepper swing to it, though. It's got a real
it
nice.
It really does.
Swing.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, Rock Me does. I meant to say that. And see, you know, I've been through Marshall Thompson, I've been exposed to Gus Redman and Ken Bedford, Gene Chandler, and all of them. Oh, so, you know, I'm starting to pick up on that Chicago sound, you see.
Yeah,
and I'm over here in
Gus
California.
Yeah.
So I'm picking up. I'm being mentored. Now, I got to hear the story about, from you, Marshall, when you first, you know, saw Stan Mosley and, you know, how you've been, you know, a fan and, you know, all the good things that led up to having him as a guest on your show. Tell us about that.
Well, Stan has been a great singer around here for a while, and we happen to go out sometime. I don't go too many places in the city, but I just happened to go out to see him perform, and he caught me with his style and everything, and his mannerism. He was a great, he have a great style of what he do, and I caught on to him, and I'm saying to him, you got to get the moving, man. You can't just hang around here or hang around these little clubs and things like that. You got too much talent, you know. And he was a cologne of Bobby Womack as well. So I told him, I said, well, look, what you got to do is come on, get with me, and let me kind of put you out there and get you into another level and take you to another level of singing, take you to another level of your performances. And he did. He followed on. So one day I woke up, I said, you know what? I'm your godfather. He said, what? He said, I'm your godfather because you are a great guy, a great person to talk to. Me and him just talk in the mornings and the evening. And we get personal. We got real personal together. And he listened to everything I was saying to him. And he came to my home. You know, had the mansion out there in Frankfurt. He came out to the mansion a few times. And we just hit on, you know, and I took him under my wings then and put him on the show with the Shylights one day. One of the guys could make it. I called him. I said, listen, we'll put you on stage with me. And he came on stage with me, and he did a great job there. And right now he's moving on. He got a super record. I mean, we're going to get to that tonight, but he got a super new hit that's going all the way. I can guarantee you that. Everything takes a minute, but it's going to kick in or it's going to break out everywhere because he has a great style of this song. And when I first heard it, it just wiped me out. I said, wow, this is a natural hit here, you know. And so that's what's happening with Stan. Stan is going all the way. A good guy. He's well-liked around the country to all the radio stations. They love him, you know, especially in the southern markets. They really love him. So it's a matter of time, and he'll be kicking on out there. We used to be scared of him because Bobby Womack was living at the time. So because he was so close to Bobby Womack. So Bobby has passed away now. Now they're looking at Stan Moses.
Wow. That's awesome. And, you know, rest in peace, Bobby Womack. And, you know, Stan Mosley, I like his style. I like the music. You know, it puts me in the era of, you know, what my parents would listen to, you know, the style and, you know, just the song and how they would tell a story when, you know, it's about love or life. They tell the story, you know. So that's what I liked about it, especially on Tasty Love. He told her, he said he could serve it in the morning. You know, he to tell a woman that he loved him, you know. And so that's what I really love about the music of your era. You know, Have You Seen Her and Toby and Old Girl and all of the songs, you know, that you all brought forth, you know, it has the emotions and the feelings that the songs today lack. You know, and so that's what I really enjoy about having you legends on the show and hearing your stories and how you all came together and what have you. And so earlier you were going to tell us about Mr. Mosley, you were going to tell us about when you went into the service. And so I want to come back around to that and ask you how long were, because we have one song left called My Problem. Now, am I missing any songs here?
No, you're not. No.
Okay. Okay, because we know that you've got some a new album, Soul Resurrection, but I want to go back into the history of your music before we wind down to, you know, we're on our last 17 minutes and we have one song. Tell us about, because most people that went into the services left the country. You already knew from growing up that you could sing and had a voice, and you know, you and the kids sat on the stoop and the block, and you know, I can picture that, you know, with the porch light and harmonizing and you honed in on it and you kept it moving, and you know, before you knew it, you were sounding like Marsha Thompson and the Shylights. And you know, but tell us about the you know, the military experience and then coming back from that, and then whether you did any music in the military.
Military experience was the military experience. That's what it was. It was an opportunity to teach me how to be a man. And it pretty much did that. So, you know, I didn't have to go to war because my brother was in Vietnam when I did enlist. So, you know, that it was an experience I'll never forget. I'll just leave it like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity.
All right. And I understand that. My brother,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I understand that completely. No, I'm sorry. I said I understand that completely. You know, I just know we're living in such a time that, you know, sort of like comes right back around to the shine light, give more power to the people. You know, it's like we're right back, you know. And so that's what I was wondering, like, did you go through any experiences and come back? But you know what, I respect you, and God bless your family member that, you know, went to Vietnam. My brother-in-law went to Vietnam, and different people served their time. So then, amen, you know. And so then you are in the United States. Now, what is, let's cover the first record label that you signed to when you knew, wow, this is like, when you first felt like, I feel like I made it, you know? Where was that breakthrough moment when you felt that?
The breakthrough moment for me is when I had enough money to record myself, and I recorded myself. I had a friend, his name is Gus Thornton. We had a group in St. Louis, well, East St. Louis, Illinois, and the name of the group was called Free Spirit. We actually used to, with the band, used to play for Shirley Brown. I was one of the background singers. Gus and I were married to a set of cousins. We used to sit down and write songs, and we wrote a bunch of songs, and I took it upon myself to take these songs and record them. And I did. I record them, and I formed my own label, and I actually... I went through this little company that could manufacture the CDs for you and stuff, and I think I had about 1,000 CDs, and I put them out there and mess around and started getting played on the radio and stuff, you know, and some kind of way it got overseas, and it got to Japan. I won a very prestigious award, which is the equivalent to a Grammy Award in Japan. I'll never forget it.
OMG.
Yes.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes, this is my own independent production. They had me on a compilation with Coco Taylor, Bobby Bland, Lil Milton, you know, a bunch of the blues greats. You know, I'm like, I'm unheard of.
Wow, yeah. Awesome.
I will never, ever forget that. So anyway, I own this album, and this is the very same album that did get me down to this company in Jackson, Mississippi, which was the biggest blues company out here, and they signed me. So when they signed me, I did like four albums for them. I had signed a 5-year deal. I did four albums with them. They still have one sitting in the what they call sitting in the can. And they're waiting on me to drop this hit so they can put that album out there. Marcy,
wow.
You know how that works, don't you, man?
You know,
is
Marshall know
there
about that business. Marshall, he's talking to you. He said, you know about that, how they that record label is holding back that one album, waiting for Stan to drop that hit, and then they're going to release that album and capitalize. And Marshall, I know you know all about that, keeping business ties for the Starlights tight all these years.
Well, that's what they do. That's what they do. And while you waiting on them to drop it something, they didn't drop something somewhere else in the country that you don't even know nothing about.
Well, I found that out already. When I went to Italy, well, the reason I went to Italy in the first place, the gentleman came from Italy to Chicago specifically to get me, to bring me over there, you know. And I laughed at him because he said, you do realize that you are a legend, don't you? I said, a legend? I started laughing at the man. Because I'm not a legend or anything like that, and I never thought of myself being anything like that. But he said, all the people that you've ever worked with are dead, and you're still here, you know. Lou Milton is gone. Marvin Sees is gone. Jay Blackfoot is gone. Johnny Taylor is gone. Bobby Bland is gone. You know, and he kept naming them like that, you know, and I thought about it, you know, and I said, well, my goodness, you know, all these people I did work with, Artie Blues, Boy White, all of these people I work with, and all of them are gone, and I knew them all personally. Tyrone Davis, you know, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, okay, I understand. So I went over there, and it's changed my life somewhat, you know.
That is life-changing. That's life-changing. And so, you know, it sounds like you are also someone whose book should be published. I want to let you know right now that I am a publisher. And while we're talking about books and being the last man standing, I want to make sure that everyone goes to the Shy Lights website. It's www.chilites.info and pick up your copy of Marshall Thompson's The Last Man Standing of the Shy Life. And Stan Mosley, I want to thank you for being here and shout out your website where people can get in touch with you before we have you introduce the last song that we have called My Problem.
StanMosleySoul.com. That's it.
There you go, StanMosleySoul.com. And ladies and gentlemen, you can follow our studio at blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. We are brought to you by the parent company, Gumbo for the Soul International, created by myself, Beverly Black, Tribe Family Channel, and Soul School Music. Co-hosted by my brother over there, Marshall Thompson. It's been a pleasure, my brother, as usual, and I appreciate your time and your talent taken, you know, away from the things that you have. You have a busy tour schedule coming up, a lot of rehearsals going on. You want to tell our audience where some of your shows are coming up?
You talking to Marshall?
Marshall? Yeah, I'm talking to Marshall. Marshall, you want to tell our audience where some of your shows are coming up?
Right. Well, New Year's Eve, we'll be at Star Plaza Theater here in the Chicago area. Then we'll be leaving out of there, going to New York City, Staten Island on the 14th. The 28th, we'll go to Philadelphia with a 30-piece orchestra in Philadelphia for the big radio station there. Then we go head out to California to the stadiums. We'll be doing the arenas with Valentine's weekend. All of those 3 days are sold out, 12,500 place. You know, San Jose, San Francisco, and leaving there and going to Phoenix, Arizona, where the Phoenix Suns do their basketball game at. We sold that one out. And then we'll be coming on back home for a minute, and then we get ready to finish up the tour. But we kick off the 31st of this month with the Mighty OJs in Chicago at the Star Plaza.
I love music.
That's right, that's right. And we want to remind our listeners that on the last Wednesday of this month, we will have Mr. Marshall Thompson and we will have Damon Williams, who is also on that platform at the Star Plaza for New Year's Eve. And we are pursuing somebody from the OJs. I've left a couple of messages, but I guess I'm going to have to use some muscle. I'm going to have Marshall use some muscle. So I want to thank our listeners from around the world. This has been a wonderful hour with Marshall Thompson on Soul School Music and our guest, Mr. Stan Mosley, both well-renowned geniuses in their music, their artistry, and both carrying such a weighty baton as they keep their legends and legacy alive. I want to thank both of you for your contributions. I want to thank our sponsor, Geniuses Common. I want to thank Sheila Ray Charles, daughter of the legendary Ray Charles, for evoking her genius. And I want to invite all of our listeners to go tell us what your genius is. Visit geniusescommon.com. Follow me, I'm Beverly, on Twitter, the @ Gumbo for the Soul. Until we meet again, it has been a pleasure, gentlemen. We're going out with
Thank
Stan Mosley's My Problem. Stan Mosley, tell our listeners about that and then take us on out.
Listen here. This is The Sound of Philadelphia, produced by Bobby Eli. This is Stan Mosley, and it's simply called My Problem. I hope you enjoy it.
All right, all right. Well, I want to thank you again for being here. Marshall Thompson, you want to say anything before we hit My Problem?
What you guys say, I want everybody to give a straight listening to this record, because in the year 2017, this record here is going all the way to the top. If you know, I know you're around the world. We had a pleasure talking with them tonight. And remember, take care of your business. Thank God for another day. Thank God for a new year to come. And God bless you.
And God bless you both. Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year to our listening audience and to all of you live from Tribe Family Channel. I'm Beverly Black, and until we meet again, here is Stan Mosley, My Problem. God bless you, and good night.
God bless.
Hey, baby, you better listen to what I gotta say to you, girl. My problem isn't that I sweat too much. My problem isn't that I eat too much. My problem isn't that. Isn't that I can't forgive?
genius is common. My name is Lloyd Price. My genius is music education. I wrote the first, what they now known as rhythm and blues, or pop music. I wrote the first song, Lordy Miss Claudy. It's been recorded 178 times by the biggest rock stars in the world, and it just goes on and on and on. And my music education, through that song, allowed me to have my own record company, my own music company when I was in my 20s. And my genius is knowing how to do it. Okay. And I tried to educate others my entire career of that. You don't have to be insecure because you don't have an academic degree. All of us are geniuses about something. We just have to find out what it is. And it comes to you. You just have to act on it. Genius is coming. And this is Lloyd Price, and I'm known throughout the world as Mr. Personality. And we're all are geniuses. Why? Because it's coming.